No, wait. Let it start. Okay. Sorry. So I'm continuing my interview with Sanjay Gupi. This is the fourth session of the interview. Today is the 14th of June. Sanjay, sorry, I lost the connection when you were talking about, you know, how it's important to do a cost-benefit analysis of these conflict situations and see how you're investing the money. And that's when I lost the connection. You're saying that, you know, that if you actually think about it in terms of cost benefits, that investing money in trying to reduce mortalities of humans through other sources might actually prove to be more effective than trying to deal with human deaths due to elephants. And you're saying that for so much money being invested, elephant deaths continue in these landscapes.
I meant to say that the balance has really tipped against wildlife is what I meant. So it has to be fair to both people and wildlife is what I meant. So if we are able to demonstrate that we have done extremely well to support people, we should also be able to demonstrate that we have done well with wildlife as well. Otherwise, it makes no meaning as a wildlife conservation project. Yes, it certainly has a huge value and a huge benefit from a social developmental project, but it certainly cannot be called as purely a wildlife conservation project.
Right.
Certainly, it has value. The work is immense. The work is very important. It is very important for the society. But when we talk about, when we bring wildlife in the picture, I think it has to be fair to both.
Okay. So, you know, one of the things that you touched upon in this response was also about, you know, wildlife facing threats from larger developmental activities, and you've spoken about that also in the book. And I want to talk about that in a little more detail, but maybe we'll, you know, speak about that in the next session, since we've already gone on for more than an hour. I just wanted to talk about one other really important, you know, milestone in your journey, and which is, I think, the setting up of this Hulaimati Nature Information Center. Can you talk a little bit about when that happened and, you know, what the motivation to set that up is?
See, the field of conservation outreach has grown immensely in the last few years. You know, it has gone beyond those beyond the days when people did a few posters or a pamphlets or did a slideshow to communities or people who are interested in conservation. But everything is focused more towards, again, those people who are sympathetic to conservation, mm-hmm. and who are urban centric, who are urban based, who are English speaking. But our outreach, while we urbanites always reap the benefit of conservation, the cost of conservation is always borne by people who live in and around these conservation areas, mm-hmm. or on the, where conservation is prioritized. For example, livestock killing or crop raiding. So they are the ones who are bearing the cost of conservation in one way. But our outreach is never focused on them. Our outreach is never directed on them. So I think I always liked, or our interpretation centers are very tourism focused.
Mm-hmm.
So set up an interpretation center where there is high tourist footfall, but not in an area where there is high footfall of people who are from that area. So that was one of the reasons, is I always wanted to take such, but high quality international standard outreach centers to an area where no tourists come perhaps, but has to be in a place where people who really are next to wildlife and who are also negative towards wildlife.
Mm-hmm.
Children, if they're growing up seeing wildlife as a problem rather than as wildlife as a national resource which they're proud about, they'll never be positive towards wildlife. If their entire life they spend watching their parents complaining about elephants crop raiding, mm-hmm. them being pulled to the agricultural fields to raid, you know, protect crops against elephant crop raiding, or parakeets raiding their crops, why will they have a positive attitudes towards conservation? Their entire view of wildlife is negative, because the only thing they're seeing from wildlife is problems. So how do we change it? How can we bring about a small change, at least in a small, at a small scale, in a very focused area? So that's led to the setting up of Olaimathi Nature Information Center, right on the borders. It's sandwiched between MMLs and Kaveri Wildlife Sanctuaries. And it is right in the rural areas where people face all these issues we talk about in a conservation, a typical conservation class. And the entire Nature Information Center is in local language in Kannada. Mm-hmm. And activities designed is also geared to reach that kind of class of people. It's also designed and encouraged so that we encourage socially and economically underprivileged children and classes to come and understand about conservation from a different perspective. They surely have a perspective about wildlife and conservation, but our perspective of wildlife and conservation, because we all have a positive view about conservation, about wildlife, while they may have a negative view about wildlife. So it's a place where positivity and negativity about wildlife comes together.
Okay.
Children, explain that. What does elephants mean to you? What does tiger and leopard mean to you? Their answer is like conflict. Okay. So if you're talking to school children in Bangalore, their answer to wildlife will be National Geographic, what they see on Discovery Channel, or what they saw when they went on a holiday on a safari. But if you ask the same children from that background, their answer is completely different. So if you're talking about conservation outreach, we really wanted to take high quality conservation outreach to these kinds of areas. That led to the setting up of Olaimathi Nature Information Center. And we got a large IUCN grant, which really helped us to do these kinds of activities. And we continue till date. We started the entire work in late 2016, and it actually fructified and came out as a product in 2018. And we continue to run the place more than 4 years after we started. And we hope to continue it at a long stretch.
And also in other places, is that?
Yes, where a similar model has been taken up by the Forest Department and started in Kali Tiger Reserve now. And now we are trying to help an organization in Bangladesh to set up a similar center. And we also plan to do it in different areas within Karnataka itself, if possible. You know, when funding opportunities arise, we'll certainly do it in other areas, even within Karnataka.
Okay.
And like all our conservation activities, it is basically a model what we have tried to work all these years. It's a model which is replicable, like any ecological study model, which is replicable, which needs to be passed on to the next generation of conservationists.
All right. So Sanjay, I think this is a good place to stop, because you know, I want to maybe in just one more session talk about more sort of reflective questions, ask you to not the specifics of your work, but your, based on your experiences over all these years, your reflections on the place of knowledge and, you know, scientists in conservation. So it's a different kind of different set of questions, so maybe we'll take that up in the next session, which hopefully will be the final session of the interview. I'll sure. Stop the recording now. We can maybe just continue to chat for a couple of minutes.
Sure. Stop it.